This is Kyle House with Kyle House Fitness. I'm also here with Kyle Miller, and welcome to the Renaissance.
I got the jitters. I got the voice jitters. Welcome to Renaissance Life, a podcast dedicated to creativity, mastery, and the pursuit of an extraordinary life, whatever that looks like to you. I am your podcaster in crime, Josh Wagner. I hope you are doing fan-flippantastic right now, wherever you are. This is a podcast that is brought to you by you guys. If you go to patreon.com/lifemastery, another Patreon I have to sign up for. Josh, darn it. Yes, you should do this. Patreon.com/lifemastery. Not only do you support this show, but you also get exclusive access to the Life Mastery podcast. Now, this is in the pre-order stage, if you will. This is something that I'm testing out. If nobody signs up, fine, I will try something else. But if you go to patreon.com/lifemastery and you are one of the first 30 people that signs up, you will get a free Life Mastery coaching from me. So go to patreon.com/lifemastery, check it out. Read the tiers, read the information. If it sounds right for you, why not try it out for a month? If it doesn't work out, you can always just stop after a month, you know? Really cutting my legs out there, aren't I? Well, anyway, patreon.com/lifemastery. Today's episode is an interview with Kyle House and Kyle Miller from Kyle House Fitness. I had a fantastic time talking to these guys. They are so insightful about what they do and about life in general. We go into a myriad of topics, including starting something, whether it be that a business or creative outlet that you're pursuing, building a community, and of course, their wheelhouse, which is fitness and health. I hope you enjoy this episode with Kyle House and Kyle Miller. Let me know your thoughts. Email me at josh@renaissancelife.com or leave a note in the comments on Instagram at renaissance.life. I appreciate you. See you on the other side. Last movie you guys saw?
Oh, gosh.
Blade Runner.
We watched Runner the other day.
Super, you like it? Long. I haven't seen it.
He wasn't into it.
Visually, it was super pleasing, but I didn't really care much.
Storyline moved very, very.
It was a very slow movie. It's bad to have a slow movie and it be like 4 hours long.
Yeah,
it was so long.
It was a really long one.
And it was one of those ones that, like, every now and then you'd be like, "Oh my god, this! Wow, the end! Wow!" And you'd be like, "Oh no, they're." We're going into another storyline. Great. All right. We're not done. Yeah, we're not done. I thought this was the climax of the story.
It was very confusing, too.
Yeah, I remember the first one being slow, too.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Definitely a slow burn.
But good visionaries for...
There were two times that I looked at him and I was like, I don't know what's happening. Does he like him? Are they friends?
No.
Is that the bad guy?
Do you guys like sci-fi?
I do. Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Me and my girlfriend Gabriella watched the first episode of Altered Carbon.
Oh, that's on our list tonight.
Already,
I texted him this morning.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
We love the guy that's the main character in that because he was in House of Cards and then The Killing.
Oh,
that's where he's at.
Yeah,
yeah,
and The Killing. Yeah,
yeah, that was a good show.
The Killing is really good. You should watch all the seasons because the last episode it all kind of comes together. That story arc, that climax.
It's so good.
This is definitely a salad.
The cable salad.
You're good.
So is there anything, before we start, anything that you don't want to talk about?
I would just say, like, we just try to shy away from not, like talking bad about.
Yeah, we never want to make anything else look bad. Never want to talk bad
or superior. We think that there is. I mean, that even is something we're happy to talk about. It's like people should do the fitness that makes them feel the best.
Sure.
We try to approach it in a balanced way, but it's not for everybody. So you got to find what I think that fitness is a lifestyle choice, and you have to find something that really inspires you, keeps you motivated. And it might mean changing it up every 3 months. It might mean sticking with something forever, or it might mean just trying new things every 30 days, just depending on who you are.
I love that. That's a great mindset. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree.
I think the moment, somebody said this to us the other day, the moment that you deny somebody, especially as a gym owner, if you deny them access to other gyms, like if you give them a hard time
if
you're too territorial, then you're really taking away people's freedom. And fitness is about giving freedom to people, right?
You know, it kind of reminds me of relationships in a way. Like, what you're saying is you're describing being too clingy if you're like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's a really good analogy. Yeah. That's good.
And your ultimate goal as a gym owner and as a fitness entrepreneur really should be to make fitness accessible to everybody. And the moment that you stop it, you're in the industry for the wrong reason. That means you're in the industry for money. You're not in the industry for changing people's lives. You should let people go and come back and be part of whatever makes them feel as connected to themselves as possible and bettering their lives. And again, once you take that away from them, they feel you're taking away that freedom to kind of explore how to better yourself.
Completely agree. I think the hard part though is, I'll intro you guys in a second, but I think the hard part is, there's so much information and noise out there. It's kind of hard for someone, especially someone starting out, like, where do I even start? Somebody's telling me this.
Mm-hmm.
Gwyneth Paltrow is telling me that.
Gwyneth.
Yeah, it's. I think, and you may want to jump in on this. That navigating the waters is kind of the hardest part. And I think going to people that have tried a bunch of different things and making sure that you talk through stuff and do research to find what works best for you, because there's such gray areas.
Yeah. It's really overwhelming sometimes. Like you said, for somebody, maybe they haven't gotten off the couch, let's say in 6 years or so. And it's like, all right, I'm ready to do this. And what's the next step to take? So that's really important. You know, you get with trained professionals that know what they're doing and can help in a very safe and balanced way to take that next step.
I think like in someone in that situation, someone on the couch, they haven't done anything for 6 months, maybe even years. They look at people who are in fitness and they're like, they want to be that, but they're also like put off by it. Like, look at these guys. Look at these gals doing
this. Obsessed.
Yeah, we actually do get that a little bit. Some people are super intimidated by coming into a studio where they don't know anybody. But that's one of our goals, though, is just to make it the most welcoming experience when you come into our space. Because that makes a huge difference.
Yeah, and from navigating the waters, I think that the most important thing that a person can do is take baby steps. So if you're talking about somebody that hasn't been off the couch or they haven't changed their diet, what happens is we set ourselves up for failure. Like, we would never say, we're going to do all these things all at once in this one day. And then you do all those things you try to, and maybe you didn't get them all accomplished, or they do it for 30 days and it's like, I can't make this sustainable. But by just removing, like, I'm not going to drink any more Coca-Colas, or I'm going to change from coffee to tea.
Right.
And once you master that one thing, then move on to the next thing. I think a lot of people want to run before they actually try to even walk. And I think that's, go out, walk 2 miles. And if you get that and it's not challenging enough, then it's time to step up your game. And then you jump into a fitness regimen or a facility that can support you as you grow and progress in your fitness journey.
That's fantastic. I'm bad about that just in general, not just only health and wellness. My goal in life, like my long-term goal in life, is to be someone who's a Renaissance man, you know, master of multiple things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A jack of all trades.
Yeah. Well, not so much
jack
of all trades. Because I feel like this is just lingo, but jack of all trades, so someone who like dabbles and dips their toes and things. And,
yeah.
You know, jumps back and forth and things, but like really being very good at certain things. But it's hard because you want to do it all at once, And you can't do it all at once.
No.
Yeah, right. And then you set yourself up for failure, too. Right. You try to accomplish too much too quickly.
Right. Mm-hmm. But let me introduce you guys. Kyle House, Kyle Miller from Kyle House Fitness. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Very welcome.
Yeah. Thank you for having us.
Thank you
for wearing those socks, too.
I know.
People can't see his socks right now, but he has rubber duckies on his socks.
That's right.
It's very encouraging.
They might be my favorite socks.
It's encouraging.
Yes.
It's very encouraging.
I did have a pair. I had to retire them, but there was some ducky socks that I owned that had bow ties.
Even better.
That's great.
Yeah,
it's classy.
I love a little flair, a little sign of smile.
So, say you guys are in a different city, or you're at a party, or somewhere that you're in a place where people don't know you, and mm-hmm. you get that stupid, infamous question. So, what do you do? How do you go about answering that? Mm. You want to start?
Sure. Yeah, I'm going to make him start.
So,
see how he's got it.
What do you do? Well, I typically just respond. You know, hey, I own my own fitness facility in Chattanooga. I've been in the fitness industry for a little over a decade now, and then just made it up to this point where we are, where we're able to create a format, you know, over all the different types of fitness that we've worked through, founding the best balance and best way to program it, and then also sharing this experience with my partner, which has been a wonderful experience too, co-owning a business together and starting it up. It's been a good roller coaster of emotions.
Yeah, but roller coaster of emotions.
Yes, it's been awesome.
and then I split my time. I am communications director for Bellhops, which is a moving.
Which I want to get into.
Yeah, moving company, a tech-enabled moving company here in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And then the other half of my time is here. And if we're together and he talks about fitness, I usually talk about, you know, I run the business part of it. So operationally, I just look how we can be the best that we possibly can on a daily basis, and then how we can be consistent in providing the type of experience that we think helps people better their lives. Like, how can we help them feel like it's more than a workout? Because for us, and I'm getting a little off topic, but for us, it's the most important thing for us. You can get a workout anywhere. I think that the thing that separates us is the experience, right? So we want to really focus on building a very encouraging team atmosphere. And when you talk to people that come here, when you walk in the door, it's something that he masters that he doesn't even know that he does well, is that everyone is just, all of our employees are super cheerful. We have 11 total employees, and they're like the nicest people. I don't know how we lucked out in getting such amazing people.
They rock.
They're very cheerful.
Walking in here, that everybody just feels so welcomed, and it's kind of a really great place to be, especially ending the day and starting the day, mm-hmm. whatever you're doing, starting your day that way, or really ending your day. For me, I work out and take the classes in the evening, and coming in and just seeing smiling faces and encouraging people, people who are encouraging people of all ages and all fitness levels. It's a very encouraging atmosphere that I think we never planned to happen, but it kind of just happened. And then we just nurture it to the best of our ability.
That's really admirable. I think, specifically for you, I want to get into like the balance of that, like balancing your work at Bellhops and doing this, like how you handle that. What's your day to day look like?
Yeah.
But before we get into that, I'd like to get into the fitness itself. Like, where did fitness come into play for you guys? Like, where did it start? Did you grow up around it?
Yeah. So, all the way back into high school. Let's see, I know Cal Miller swam. I also did a little bit there, and then went through gymnastics, then through cheerleading, and then that put me through college on some scholarships. Went to UTK, UTC, and MTSU for cheerleading. And then...
Very cool.
Beyond that, you know, we talked a little bit about, you know, getting into the recording industry for a little bit, and fitness was still a big passion of mine on the side, and then made a big jump after graduating college, saying, hey, you know, this is actually a lot more fun. I'm seeing a lot more results from people, and I'm enjoying watching people progress and just seeing them grow, build their confidence. So I made a pretty drastic jump, career change, career move, and then started off as a personal trainer, and then got into indoor cycling, and then kept moving on into a little bit of yoga, and then it just kept going. Like, oh man, like, I love all these different forms of fitness. I just want to keep learning more and more. And then culminating up to where we are here.
Yeah. I think that's one of the cool things about, he's experienced in trained in and done pretty much all the types of fitness that you can possibly think of. Whether it's, like it. Yeah, whether it's powerlifting, whether it's cycling, whether it's doing Les Mills type classes where you're doing
more like really
choreographed workouts. All he's ran the gamut of all types of fitness. So I think it's really interesting how he's taken three really core types of fitness and kind of molded them together. There's not many places you can go in 60 minutes and get yoga, weight training, and cardio all in one together. Mm-hmm. And I think he had told people about it when we were just thinking about it, and people were like, "Oh, that's
whatever.
You can't do that. That's not going to work." And it's so surprising that it really has worked, and people are finding it.
People are responding really well to the format. They love it.
Coming from me, who's like tried it, mm-hmm. I really enjoyed the fact that there's moments of rest and moments of intensity.
Yeah,
like the moments of rest, especially before and after, doesn't really exist in the gym unless you know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I could say the same for different types of exercises too, but there's not that balance often.
Yeah, that's super important, especially we were talking more about the people that are, you know, just getting moving, just getting into a fitness regimen. It's you got to be really careful with injuries and things of that nature. So it's important to teach intensity, which is important, you know, get your heart rate up, you're going to build muscle, you're going to burn fat, but then also listening to your body and recovering too. So we teach, you know, the recovery in the classes, and even outside of the classes too. We're big advocates of, you know, self myofascial release and foam rolling, getting into a good regimen of your own stretching routine too, and just the mindfulness of listening to your body.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Super important. So Miller, where did you get started with fitness?
Oh, so I came from a family that we were always in sports. We had to choose a sport. So I played a little bit of football.
From your parents,
football, baseball. Then I found swimming to be like the thing that I loved. And from about age 8 till I was 17, I swam competitively into what's called Southeasterns, which is the next level before zones, which is the next level before Olympic trials. And then word to the wise, like, don't start your kids too young in sports because you get really tired of it very quickly. So when you do something from age 8, and swimming is one of those very intensive training sports. It's not like baseball, it's not like football, it's not like basketball. You can't miss a day. The moment you miss a day, you go down 1/100 of a second. And so when you're 15 and you're waking up and swimming in the morning and then going home and then swimming at night, and you're practicing twice a day, every single day except for Sunday, it becomes like, I just want to go see a movie. And then you get into college and you pass up on some good opportunities because you're just done. So it's very easy to burn out on stuff. So I would tell people, like, slow. Once again, take a little bit, like the Coca-Cola, right? Like you if you're drinking a Coke and you want to make diet changes, say, let's just drop the Coke out. Well, I should have said, you know, let's try just summer swimming, but I went all year round for probably 15 years.
It reminds me a lot of when parents want their kids to learn an instrument too,
mm-hmm.
like piano or something.
Yeah.
Like, Sally, Joe, you have to learn piano. And you go to lessons and you're awful at it and you keep doing it and keep doing it.
Yeah.
But they forget to tell you why it's good for you. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when I was younger, if I had learned piano, I would probably love it now, you know, starting from that early. Same with swimming. If mm-hmm. like if I knew why it was important to me, why it mattered, I might have gone through that with actually caring about it more, you know,
exactly.
without being burnt out about
yeah.
it. I played basketball, baseball. I didn't get into football. Mm-hmm. And soccer, although I was terrible at soccer.
I'm the worst basketball player.
I just played like 1 year of Pee Wee football, and like I got hit by somebody. I was like, oh, tapping out now.
Yeah.
No thanks.
I'm
not going to get hit by anybody else. And I'm not good at catching balls. So it was either hit and get hit or be the ball catcher. And I didn't want to get hit. So I'm out.
I went through this thing where I loved it until everyone got serious about it.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very quickly, this is not fun anymore. This is all about serious. And that's maybe just the coaching or the environment that I was in. But once that hit, I was like, why am I doing this?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You want it to be a good experience.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's I had a conversation when I was swimming with the coach that I had at the time. And I said, you know, what does this mean for me? Like, college scholarship? Like, am I going to get to do Olympics? Am I going to, like, what can I do?
Sure.
And it was like he took me through the timeline of based off of my times and what I could possibly do. And it was like, you could probably get a college scholarship, which will be really cool. But then you're going to be swimming in the morning, go to school, swim at night. You'll do that every day. And then most of those teams are going to, like, test you for trying to go to zones, trying to go to Olympic trials. And with your times, you could potentially make it to Olympic trials, but you probably won't place. I was like, well, this that doesn't seem very inspiring.
It's not a very inspiring
And he was super honest, which is great because I dropped out a little bit. So that was a good experience. But it's one of those things. I was like, I wish I would have known this where I'm going, because he gave me the advice then. But it was like, oh, well, just looking at what you do, this is what you're on pace. So if somebody would have told me 2 years before that or 3 years before that, I could have, you know, probably pushed a little further or pushed a little harder to get to the point where I made it a little easier, the progression of a career into swimming a little bit easier for myself.
Right.
Yeah.
What, House, what was your catalyst from jumping from music to fitness as a full-time?
Yeah, it was a really tough point because I was making some, you know, semi-decent money. I used to manage a Mellow Mushroom. It's hilarious just thinking about that. Like, lots of pizza and...
Yeah, and they actually offered him... They offered him to, like, go and open more in all over the country. And
but then...
Really?
Be like a store launcher.
Mm-hmm. It's good managing skills.
Yeah.
Yeah. So far, so good. but then we were really avid weightlifters at the time, a little bit more into the bodybuilding realm, physique building. When we were up in Murfreesboro, this is where we were at the time, at the Murfreesboro Athletic Club. And then just... with some of our friends up there, they were personal trainers as well, and just seeing their lifestyle and how much fun they had, and just their flexibility and schedule too, that made me want to jump into that out of the, you know, salary position I was on, working something I didn't really fully enjoy, and just going into something I was a little bit more passionate about, and into that idea that, you know, you can actually watch people grow, watch them build confidence. That was just super huge for me. And then decided to go for the ISSA certified personal trainer online course years ago. And then that was just the big catalyst there. Picked up a couple clients here and there so I could, you know, get them in the mornings, work on my manager shifts in the evenings.
How did you pick up clients?
First it was for free. So it was like, hey,
a lot of people do that.
Will you just come in to
let
the gym?
Me practice on you.
Let me practice with you. Like, you know, we can sign waivers and stuff, you know, make sure I don't hurt you or anything. But Lauren Pascal, now Lauren Martin, was my very first free client. The catalyst for building up to, you know, getting some confidence in and okay, all right. And then approaching the owner of the facility, and then going from there. It was awesome. So
I would
scary.
Say that there's a little, like, nugget of a lesson learned in that is that, and it's something that we've always held true, is like, you shouldn't be stuck in anything that you don't enjoy doing. You know, I've worked a lot of different jobs since I was in college and out of college, and some were just for money, but I knew exactly why I was doing it, right? Why I'm doing this thing. And the moment that I didn't know why I was still doing it, the moment that he thought to himself, why am I still doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Is the moment that we, in the most positive way, jumped ship, right? And said, this isn't for me. I don't know why I'm doing this.
Right.
And being comfortable. I think we've really found it to be okay to challenge ourselves to not be okay with whatever's happening, if we're not happy.
I think that moment of jumping ship, there's always that twinge of fear, though.
Oh, yeah.
How did you guys get past that fear? Because I think that fear stops a lot of people from trying new things.
I'm more of like an analytical person. Like, I looked at money and, like, I'm like, how much money do I have?
Yeah.
How long can I make this last?
Which is good, because I did the opposite. And it comes back and bites you.
It does. You know, I worked for the police department for 2 years, and I told chief, I was like, I'll do this for 2 years, and then I'm out. And I was there for 2 years and 3 months, and still jumping from that job with no job in the distance, but saying, like, I made this promise to myself that I wanted this experience, and I went through the experience over a 2-year period, and now I'm going to jump to something new. I don't know what that is. And then jumping into, you know, the unknown and waiting, because I think sometimes we're just too afraid to take a chance on, as cheesy as it sounds, like our dreams are like, and I think dreams are just happiness. Like if you're not happy somewhere,
yeah,
that's a good distinction. I like that.
You have to make mm-hmm. the decision to kind of like, be outside of that and challenge yourself to be uncomfortable a little mm-hmm. bit, because I think the more uncomfortable we are, the more we kind of reach out and find the things that inspire us and drive us. And if you have questions in your head, I think we come from families too. My parents are really like very just much like, oh, just quit your job. You don't like it, just quit. You know, they're totally supportive. But I mean, at the same time, they'll be like, are you sure you don't like it? Like, let's right. talk about it. Like, what are the pros and cons? What do you hate about it? Because it's a job. You're always going to find something you hate about your job. So yeah. You can't just use it as an excuse to jump off. But if you feel like you've done everything you possibly can, it's time for your career to progress or you to progress as a person. You just have to be willing to take the leap. I don't know if there's a way to make it easier other than just having people around you that are like, I totally do that too. So.
Having that support is very handy when it comes to doing something that's scary like that.
Yeah, I'm definitely, you know, thankful and grateful that I had a, you know, supportive partner and family too. You know, not a lot of people get that opportunity to have that. So for those of, you know, for people that are wanting to make a jump, just, you know, it will be scary. It will be hard at times. It will be emotional, but you know, you do experience those things, but then you have to realize, you know, that's going to pass. Things are going to get better just as long as you put in the hard work. That's super important. Just, it's not going to be easy.
No. So you mentioned your parents. What other lessons have you guys learned from your parents? I know it's a very broad question.
It's not for me. It might be for him a little bit. I have like the best parents ever. They really are. Yeah. They're pretty amazing, aren't they? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're just like, my dad growing up, so like my dad is one of those things, like I never realized some of the stuff he had me do, and I end up being able to do a lot of things that even translates here. When you're able to do drywall and you're able to lay flooring and you're able to do all these things and you own a business, you don't have to hire somebody to do it for you. And he made us if we built our own home that we lived in. So me and my brother and my dad built it.
That's incredible.
I think that's where I've never been really scared to try new things. Cause my, you know, we were living in this tiny little house and my dad was like, we bought the lot beside us. We're going to build a home. And, start laying the foundation tomorrow. We were like, cool. Awesome. Unknown to us that we would be building the home. The foundation was done, the woodwork, everything but the plumbing we did. And so we learned how to do tile. We learned how to lay flooring. We learned how to hang cabinets. We never were allowed to change our own oil. I mean, never allowed to get someone to change our oil for us. We were always having to change our oil. If we had two motorcycles, we had to fix them if they broke. I'm like, hey, I want to get a new sound system for my Bronco. And he's like, great. And we go get it. And then we get there. And he's like, you have to put it in. And so I have to take out all the speakers, take out all the dashboard.
That's incredible.
Put all that in. And then, you know, he's like, you know, if you rely on everyone to do things for you, you'll never learn how to do it yourself. And I want you to learn how to do it yourself. And then when you're busy and you don't have time, you can get somebody to do it for you. But now you have the time to learn how to do it. So challenge yourself. And there was no YouTube. There was no nothing.
Right.
Like you bought a sound system. I'm just like pulling things out of the dash, like plugging it in.
Let's try this
hoping one. It works. Start it up. Nope, doesn't work. And then starting over and over and over again, especially in the 90s because it was so cool to have a cool sound system in your car. Definitely. I mean, it was like the
subwoofers.
both of my parents are super supportive, super challenging, and really never let us kind of phone things in, let us do what we want to. Never told us we had to do something.
That's a good balance.
Always let us do what we want to, but if we said we were going to do something, they made us follow all the way through.
Right.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Did you enjoy that when you were growing up?
Changing my own oil. No, I hated that. I remember I had a Bronco, but then we also had a Honda Civic, and I remember I was driving that around and the alternator went out and I had to change that. No fun whatsoever to change an alternator in a vehicle. changing my own brakes, changing my own tires, all those things seemed so laborious and sometimes they felt like chores. And now today, it's interesting because I get around people my age especially I'm 32, and I get around people that are 24 to 35, and they don't know how to do these things. They don't know how to change a tire. They don't know how to change their own oil, and you know, a hole gets broken into a wall, and then don't know how to fix it. You got to pay somebody to do it. Those are things that I know how to do, and I didn't realize it till I had to start doing them. I was like, oh, I can do that. And people are like, wow, how did you do that? And it's like, you don't know how to do it. It started to catch whenever I think I was in college, and I was like, wait, you don't know how to do that? You've never done drywall before? And they're like, no, why would I do? I remember he was telling me, he was like, I remember meeting him, and he didn't know how to do laundry. Sorry, I have to tell people that. Yeah. He didn't know how to do laundry. I was like, take a cap and you pour this in here and you pour that in. But his mom had always done it for him. And my parents would never do our laundry. And, fail or not, like, you know, you learn, don't wash the jeans with the whites.
My mom would do the laundry too. So
yeah, in the same, it's a learning process.
I had odd parents. And then I also grew up, my family all lived on one street, and we all, we owned all the homes on the street. So my grandparents lived in front of me. My uncle and aunt lived beside me. And then we had two other homes that we rented out to family as well. So we were always surrounded by family. So it was even weird to me whenever, like, I don't think till in college when people, I'm from Saudi Daisy. I mean, it's, everybody's very close knit there. And it was very weird to me growing up and then moving into college, and people were like, I was like, you don't talk to your grandmother every day? Like, you don't go over for dinner every night?
Right.
That's weird. And, like, then I found out, no, that's not weird. I'm the weird one. Like, mm-hmm. I'm the one that was able to go and walk across the street whenever I got in a fight with my mom and be like, I'm going to grandma's house, and just literally cross the street, like, 20 yards. And then, like, close the door, and she can see me closing the door out her window. But, yeah.
Got a house?
Yeah.
Lessons from parents?
I would say one of the biggest things for my mom is her creativity, because she was an artist, and just always watching her. She was really big into doing oils and acrylics on canvas, and big layers, big bold colors. So super, you know, into that whole creative side, that helped me get into a little bit of music, helped me get into a little bit of sketching and art at a young age. But then also one of her traits that I think I picked up on, it's helped me out as a manager. A little double-edged sword sometimes, but loving kindness, that's a really big one for me. You know, I tend to go straight for the best in everybody, which can, you know, have a little downfall here and there, but just I am able to be, you know, welcoming and encouraging to anybody and everybody that, you know, I come into contact with. So that's one of my biggest ones that I want to take as a win from my mom.
You can take people with bad attitudes, like horrible. They, like, either just out in the open or walk into the studio or whatever, and they literally leave a totally different person.
Oh wow, that's a fantastic. Yeah,
it's like, I don't. It's not a big deal. Like, you know, what's your background? Who you are? Where you're from? It's just like, okay, let's. You're looking to better yourself. Let's do it.
Do you ever feel down yourself?
I do.
And yeah. How do you motivate yourself to get back to that?
That's a big one. Spirit. So I've been getting a lot more into, you know, just breath control and meditation. That's helped out over the years, just building a practice that way, knowing that it is okay to experience emotions of sadness, of anxiety and guilt. They are emotions. It's something that we don't need to suppress too much. Just actually experience them. But then beyond that, say, okay, all right, I got this under control. Let's go ahead and get on with the day, because sometimes that needs to happen.
And I think that a piece of advice that we both would give to people that are in a service industry where your goal is to, like, help people better their lives, it's very hard to focus on yourself when you give so much to others. So I think I get to step away from it a lot, but he's here every day and devoting kind of, and all of our employees are, as devoting themselves to, like, helping people be better. And a lot of times you, in an industry like this, you forget that, like, you've got to make time for yourself, because you can't help take care of others. Any somebody like me, like, I'll be like, okay, you don't have to handle that. Like, go do your thing. Like, there's something about going and sitting and watching TV just for yourself, or doing something that you really love, whether it's drawing, making music, doing those little things and making time for them, because, it's very easy to get lost in, especially the fitness industry, where you're your number one priority is everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I've been meditating for about 3 years now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's, I completely agree with the benefits of doing that.
I've it's
been trying
huge.
Something new recently, and that's, I call it like just practicing negative space.
Okay.
And that's just doing nothing.
Okay.
No TV.
No, that's great.
No trying to do breathing exercises. Just sitting mm-hmm. or laying down. Just.
Yeah, I remember when that brings up when we first opened. We were here open to close every single day, and then there had to be these little opportunities of just okay, we're just going to go be in this space and do nothing and
we
just
close the store, lay down on mats, completely just silent for yes. 30 minutes.
It was
sometimes
so needed.
We'd fall asleep. Sometimes yeah. we wouldn't. One of the things that I can't remember where we heard it this the other day, but there was a writer who does this, and he goes and he sits down at his writing desk without any intention to do anything, but he makes himself sit there for 30
oh,
minutes.
Oh, really?
And the whole storyline was that he would always
yeah.
end up writing the most amazing things. And he would be there for 5 hours, but his whole goal was like, I'm going to sit at my desk 30 minutes and just think. I don't have to do anything. I just sit in silence. And if I decide to start writing, then I will.
Mm-hmm.
And usually he did. And then he just kept flowing through. So there's something about being in that stillness. And we try to meditate every night. Mm-hmm. we set our alarms at like 9:30. And then
we can do this.
Either do a guided meditation or we do some form of meditative release before we go to bed to make mm-hmm. sure that we clear our mind out. And that includes like playing Tetris or I play 2048. You know, these mindless kind of games.
I haven't heard 2048.
Yeah, it's
I
good.
Can't You'll do that.
Get it. It's good. It's the mayor is the one that showed me that, and it is. It's kind of a really cool practice to like, because mm-hmm. there's no emotional connection to like Tetris, and there's no emotional connection
right.
to all these like dots or Candy Crush or any of these like mindless games. But if you use them before bed, they actually clear the mind because. There's no emotional connection to them, so you can actually be a little clearer when you go to sleep.
You're not focusing on your day. You're not focusing
yeah.
on what went wrong.
Yeah.
You know, you're not yeah. focusing on work, your to-do lists.
Because that's a big part of our balanced fitness plan is, you know, making sure you get the recovery and rest. And then let's say, you know, you're used to having a really hectic day. You go, you're a parent or whatever it is, and then you finally get a moment to sit down, and that's when you're trying to go to bed, and then that's when everything just starts to flood in because you haven't had...
I forgot this. I forgot to do
yeah.
this. I need to do this. Tomorrow I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to do... And
yeah, you haven't even had like at least time for just one mindful breath, and that's it. And then the time it is when you're trying to go to bed, and then you start frustrating about that. It gets worse, and then... So sleep patterns is a huge thing that we try to teach
4-part breathing. We do that. Breathe in for 4, hold for 4, breathe out for 4, hold for 4.
Yeah.
And you just go in that cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody I've read recently does that. They call it something box breathing. That's what it is.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
It's a SEAL guy, Mark Divine.
I heard. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's big into that.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't tried it.
It's pretty good, especially if you're like, I have pretty bad ADD and I'm always thinking about like the next day and what I can do. So 2 things I do are breathing exercises like that, but then also anything that pops in my mind, I just get my notebook out and I write it down and just release it from my, I think a lot of times we wake up in the middle of the night, especially if you're working like working for bellhops and then also having this, you have these ideas or this mm-hmm. worry that comes to mind and then it doesn't get you to sleep. I just put it on the notebook, close the notebook and go back to bed. And it makes all the difference in the world just putting it somewhere and knowing that you can. Because the fear, I think, comes from, oh, God, I'm going to forget about this when I
right.
wake up tomorrow. But if you just write it all down, so, I mean, even at 3 a.m., I'll wake up and think of something, and then I just put it in my notes
yeah.
and or email it to myself, and then I can release it and go right back to sleep. Because sleep is such an, I think it's the most underrated thing possible.
Completely agree. It's something I'm trying to improve myself.
Yeah.
But I want to get into, like, the beginning stages of how Kyle House Fitness
yeah.
started.
Sure.
But before
yeah.
that, just a quick question, maybe not so quick, but how much do you guys work during the day? Like,
God.
Because I've more recently, I'm finding myself working like,
mm-hmm.
I'm working way too much.
yeah. yeah.
And
yeah.
that's because I'm, you know, I'm doing day stuff, but I'm also mm-hmm. having a side gigs. And then podcast, blogging, that kind of stuff, trying to build that
mm-hmm.
that empire,
yeah.
you know.
We,
but I'm just curious, how much do you work?
That's a really good question because
so
it
We were trying to track how much we worked and figuring out. And I mean, it's a lot of hours. I mean, I'll give you an example. I work all week at Bellhop's, and then I'm here in the evening sometimes. And then Saturdays we're here all day. Mm-hmm. On Sundays we're a half day, just getting things prepped and ready for the rest of the week. I would say that our day can be around 5 a.m. till about 9:30 or so.
Sometimes,
we try to wind down. So we try to put. We were doing really bad at like going to bed at like midnight or 11, and we started putting stops on it, just saying when 9:30 hits, both of our phones go off, and we're just done.
That's good.
That's really hard to do too. But it's helped out so much. Just.
We kind of got into a regimen. We sit down and watch a 20 to 30 minute show on Netflix at 9 o'clock. The alarm goes off at 9:30. We get up, we get ready for bed, and then we do a meditation, and then we're able to get up at 5 and work a little bit more on stuff in the morning and prioritize our nights for kind of unwinding. I think sometimes people do the opposite, and I don't know how you can. It's hard for me to go to sleep once I start working on something, because I could stay up till 3 a.m. working.
Right. Yeah, it sounds like you have a great evening routine.
That's helped out a lot for me. I'm trying to get Kyle more into it, but I have my evening routine is
while, has a very strict routine.
While watching Netflix, I'll have my yoga mat set out. I'll have my foam
Netflix
roller.
Netflix and stretch, as we call it.
I'll have my little strap assistant. So I have this. It's a little bit roughly the primary Ashtanga series, minus a lot of the intense back bends and stuff like that, because it gets you pretty jazzed up before going to bed. But stuff to recover. And then doing it as a habit, it sort of triggered my mind, like, all right, okay, it's time to get winding down, it's time to go to bed here in a little bit. So that's helped out a ton, just getting into a habit doing
and
that.
And I think we took it one step at a time, and we're going further and further into it. So more so we read about, like, what the mind does and how the body works, and, you know, we make it a goal if we're going to watch something on television to unwind and kind of just, like, completely numb ourselves to thought. Like, we try to find something that's either funny or it's a comedy or it's a documentary that, like, we can either learn from or laugh from. Because there's this whole theory that, you know, if you're watching a drama or you're watching like an action or you're like your mind, you're putting your mind
it
in the wrong
you up.
Place.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And especially if you're watching scary movies, which we love scary movies, but if you're doing that, then like, you know, your mind is full of just violence and all these other things that could go on. So you want to leave yourself before you go to bed with the best of intentions. So we've been trying to slowly, you know, we pick a comedy thing. We pick a very specific type of meditation process.
But then to answer your question too, hours per week. Where do you think you're at?
I don't know. I can't even think. So, I mean, it's five to nine, probably 5 to 8 about
Monday
every
through,
day. And then Saturdays we're just, we sleep
we'll
in.
We get
seven.
To sleep in a little bit more since class doesn't start till 8:30.
But also having the right employees and, and trusting them and giving them the power to, like, I think the big mistake that people make, and I find myself making this mistake, we're no perfectionists when it comes to this, and we're trying to be, is that, you know, it's kind of like, it's like with sports, right? So when you coach, you're not jumping on the field and playing. You're showing people how you have to treat your entire team as an actual sports team, and you're the coach of that sports team, and you're sending them out in the field, and you're trusting them to make the touchdowns, and you're trusting them to do all the things that they need to do. You're not jumping in and getting on the court. You're not jumping in and getting in the field. And so if you think of it that way, then you have to think of using all the things that you talk about to empower people and encourage people to execute and be the best they can in those day-to-day tasks, those weekly tasks, and those monthly tasks. And once you can learn that and really embrace it, then you can hand over some of that trust to the right people.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
So I think
that's
about having the right
great.
People in place.
Yeah. So I'm very interested in how creatives and entrepreneurs go from idea to reality, an actual business. So how did you guys go from zero to one?
Let me grab. So he was saying that he started at the Mac, and he came up to me and he was like, I think I'm gonna leave Mellow Mushroom and I want to be a personal trainer. You know, I was like, okay, well, stay at Mellow Mushroom right now. Get the personal training degree, and then once you have that, like, get the certification, and then once you have it, then, like, what, you jump ship and we'll dive right in. And so we got to that point and he got ready, and I think I made like a Word doc. I made a Word doc, and it was called Brick House Training is what we called it. And
Rick House, the original. Yes, I still have a t-shirt. Sleeveless Rick House training.
Oh, yeah. And so I told him, I was like, here, we printed up this sheet. And we put some, I ordered some business cards. We put business cards in there, and we put them at the gym that he was, the way the gym was set up is you kind of paid a fee to be there, and then you ran as your own small business within it.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So you pay like $400 a month, and then any money that you made from clients or anything, you kept yourself. You just paid rent for utilizing this space. So it was a big box gym.
Yeah, that helped me work a lot harder, I think, versus just getting an hourly.
Or having to buy the equipment, right?
Yep.
From the get-go.
Yeah. And so we put that thing out, and I think maybe in a month or two, he had like three or four clients. And so we were like, we're doing it.
We're slowly building up. We can do this.
what was there a moment that it was real, became real to you? Was it after you got your certification, or was it that first client, that first paid client?
I would say it was, let's see. One of my favorite clients, sweet Julie. I think that's when it really happened. It clicked in because it was with her and her mom. And her mom wasn't very mobile. So just being able to like, oh my gosh, I'm watching progress. This is really happening. And I was like, oh wow. And I was taking less hours at Mellow Mushroom. I was like, this is really going to work. And then being able to be, you know, supported from the actual paying clients, not the free clients we were talking about earlier. They did help tremendously, but being able to sustain and just seeing that it could make it work.
And so I was an intern for Big and Rich at the time, the Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy country artist, you know, because my degree is in entertainment management. And
you are awesome. You're like all over the place.
We are all over the place.
Big and Rich.
With the mayor. This is kind of where I think things got real for us is that I was doing songwriting and we were up there and working on stuff and we both kind of looked at each other and we're like, what are we doing? Like, we're in Murfreesboro. We've been here for a year after we graduated. Like, what do we want to do?
Mm-hmm.
Where do we want to do it? And
so the songwriting wasn't cutting it.
Yeah, it was, you know, I think so when it comes to songwriting, I think when you choose something, you have to figure out, is it a hobby and something that you enjoy doing? Or is it something that you enjoy doing and you want to make a career out of it? And it was definitely not something that I wanted to make a career out of it. I recorded about 15 or 16 songs and then shopped those for about a year and got in front of really great people. And never got a bite from anything. But, you know, when you're talking to people and they're like, yeah, Usher Raymond just listened to your song. And you're like, oh, cool. Awesome. Does he want it? Is he going to buy it?
Yeah.
And they're like, no, he's not going to buy it. And so... you know, I found that music for me really was a love, and I came to the realization that I didn't want it to be a career.
Yeah.
I didn't want to make it a career. It became something that felt like a job. I woke up, we went to the recording studio. I spent the whole day writing with a producer and recording music. And then you leave. And after a while, a love started feeling like a job. And I didn't want it to be that. And so we were like, where do we want to be? It was between Las Vegas.
Yeah.
We were thinking about Las Vegas because he is an audio engineer. I had an entertainment degree. And we were like, we could definitely survive there. He could run sound for any of the shows there. I could work in a management firm or anything like that. That or going and moving from Murfreesboro to Nashville.
Right.
Or moving to Chattanooga.
Music capital.
Yes. Or moving to Chattanooga. I think Chicago may have been floated a little bit, but Las Vegas almost happened. It was
weird.
We had somebody we're going to move with, and she was a great friend of ours. She actually lives here in Chattanooga now. She's a makeup artist and wig designer for Disney.
Oh, wow.
And we were like, yeah, we'll all get a place together. We'll move down there. And on that journey, we were like, where do we know people? And I was like, my family lives in Chattanooga. Your family lives in Chattanooga.
Yeah, this was the time when we were going back and forth, like working the Chattanooga market every Sunday, and then we would
My
drive.
Dad has lemonade stands at the Chattanooga market. So
that is
Miller's original lemonade.
So we went down every weekend and worked for him.
But we would notice,
I tried
like
the Chattanooga market. It's fun. It's hot.
It's packed always too. Just
good
slam.
Day for lemonades.
good day for lemonade.
But we'd always see people we knew, and then Chattanooga was changing every single time we drove back. There was a new building, there's a new restaurant, and it was like you said, like, why? What are we doing? Like, why are we here?
And then there was a fitness studio that had just opened called Thrive.
Mm-hmm. That was one of my biggest opportunities there to meet.
Which was in Coolidge Park.
Mm-hmm. And then had the opportunity to work with Kim Gavin and Anna Mercer and Jeff Krupp-Kale. They're awesome people. And met a lot of just lasting relationships that I still have today. And just got my feet wet in the fitness industry here in Chattanooga. And then
I started working for, he was state senator at the time, but now mm-hmm. Mayor Andy Burke.
Yeah.
So I started working with him on his first campaign. And I was like, I just went up to him. My uncle was big in politics, and he ran a lot of different campaigns. And so I was like, hey, I'd really like to meet this guy. I'm interested in politics. So, you know. Of course, like you said, I'm all over the place. So I was like, I'm interested in politics. And so Andy said he would meet with me. I sat down and I just told him, I said, you know, I just moved here. I have some money saved up, and I'm just trying to figure out, you know, what's here for me in Chattanooga. But I also want to figure out a way to help and learn about politics. So I'd love to just sit and learn from you and work with you. Yeah. And I was like, I'll be an intern, whatever you want from me. Like, I'll go get coffee. I'll get your dry cleaning, whatever you want me to do. I don't really care. I'll answer phones. And he was like, yeah, why don't you come and work on my campaign? And I was like, okay, great, cool. And so we started working, I started working for him, and that progressed into, doing his website and doing, you know, we call it communications, but it's really marketing for the campaign. And then followed him into office and worked there for 2 years. And during that time,
I was also working at, it was North Shore Yoga at the time, and then Hot Yoga Plus bought it out. And then currently it's Southern Soul Yoga, but there's plenty of name changes there. But that was one of the other communities that I got into. It's just super huge, the yoga community. And then adding on from there, also worked up at a Hotspot up on Signal Mountain, and then also a little bit at the YMCA. So just a little nomadic group fitness instructor throughout town, and just got to experience a lot of different communities, which helped out a ton.
I think maybe 2 years in or so from when we moved here, which was like in 2012 or 13, I think, he came to me and was like, I think I want to,
yeah, like I've got to a point, like I've got a good idea and I really want to go with it.
And so we rented a space February 2016. We rented a space in the Chattanooga workspace. I had just transitioned from being in the mayor's office to working as head of communications for the police department. And he opened up a little, probably half the size of this room we're sitting in right now.
Is it like 400 square feet?
Yeah, 400 or 500 square feet.
Maybe, if that.
Yeah, if that. And he started training, you know, 2 or 3 people a day.
And this was all my, like, pretty much my beta testing for the HitFit format that we have. But not running on treadmills. We would use the hallways and the stairwells. So all the other artists and stuff in the studio, I don't know if they probably didn't enjoy it, but I apologize.
Sorry, guys.
I'm trying to focus here.
But it was a really cool experience. I mean, we got to test out equipment. We got to test out clientele and
I also
test a ton of different things.
Hired on my first, you know,
first employee
there. So that would help pick up.
I want to talk about that. Was that all you were doing at the time?
Yeah.
So you just went straight ahead.
Yeah. It was one of those, like, he left teaching all of those places and said,
oh, that was another real moment. Sorry, I want to bring that up. Yeah, but giving my first paycheck to somebody, that was like,
yes. To an employee?
Yes. Yeah.
Writing the first check was
got chill bumps. That was so good.
Tell me about that process. How did you go about hiring someone?
It's a little bit of scouting at first.
Okay.
And then, you know, and then social media is a huge thing right now, too. You can sort of get a little semi image of who that person is.
Yeah, a little
stalk
snapshot
stalk them a little bit.
I think it's also determining a need, though.
Yeah,
I think that's the most important. We talk to a lot of people that, like, you know, we're going to need employees, or I should have employees. I don't think that anybody should have employees. You either need to have employees or you don't, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you need that based off of the amount of services that you're providing. And
mm-hmm.
he got to a point where
I couldn't
people
take
were coming
on more.
To him, and he was like, I don't have any hours left. So.
Yeah,
right.
And
I gotcha.
So then it's like, oh, well, how do I fill those hours? I can have somebody
And at this point in my fitness career, too, it used to be way back in the day, I would just pile on, okay, let's get as many hours as we can because I'm not sure it's going to happen. But by the point at the workspace, I was at the point where, like, okay, to function properly, to have the good balance, and to deliver the experience I need to the clients, like, I know I can only take on this many hours a day. So this person's needing this time. So, all right, well, I do need to hire somebody to take hold of that time slot I can't get to.
And then it's finding somebody to fit that need, I think.
Right. And I want them to, you know,
sometimes
have the same
people, we know, like,
mindset.
Hire people, and it's, you know, they're like, I don't know what to let them do. It's like, well, did you need to hire somebody? You know, and it's determining what that need is and then finding that person that can best fill those needs. And I think he's been really good at just identifying the right type of person to fill the needs that we need. And I think now we've progressed into this weird thing in the fitness industry that no one does, and that's like trying to develop some sort of career path for people. That's one of the hardest things about being a personal trainer, is that like it feels like you're on your own and there's no leveling up and there's this glass ceiling you're going to hit. You either open your own gym or you like stay down in this training scenario.
Yeah, there's only so many hours you can give yourself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So.
And so we're trying to develop people into, you know, people have to come in and work front desk if they want to be trainers. They're going to have to learn how to do that. And then they can progress and graduate into personal training, and then they can take on more clients. And then
okay. We
have management. And then, you know, we're trying to figure out what that career path looks like. I think that's a really important piece as well, because once you have a need, I mean, nobody's going to stay in that need forever.
Right.
You've got to give them some sort of progression.
What advice would you give to someone who's wants to, maybe it's their own fitness company or brand, but it could be something else, could be something more, another type of creative work. Maybe it's they want to make websites, or they also want to do communication.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to them to when they want to start something?
One of my biggest things, is to slow down. Because when we almost signed a lease, the very first one, and we would have been bankrupt, I think, within, I don't know, maybe a couple of months. So
okay.
Got eager, got really excited, and we were like, yes, that sounds, we don't know if that's great. It sounds great.
Like, okay,
you're making it sound great.
At this time,
we'll totally pay that.
And at this time, we had no idea that you could have people represent you, and there's lawyers on the landlord side that are representing them. Like, there's little things that you just need to be aware of, because if you don't, you're going to get, you know, a lease that's all in the favor of the landlord, and then you could have had an opportunity to negotiate some things there. The space that we're in currently is the 18th spot that we looked at, so it was a good process.
And I would piggyback on that, and I always tell people, and I tell people that I work with this, and I tell people that it's so important just in a good atmosphere, like, don't be afraid to not know. And I have to remind him that. I remind people all the time.
Oh,
I was
my
like,
gosh.
Don't be afraid to not know something.
That's huge.
Like, you don't have to be the expert in everything.
When you say that, you mean expertise, or like not know what you want to do?
Both.
Okay.
I mainly mean
expertise.
Like, yeah. So when it comes to, you know, you're like, oh, well, I'm starting a business, I should know how to read a lease. No, there are people who go to college and spend years learning how to do that. And if you're going to make a business decision, you should get the right people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't be afraid to not know something.
I think a lot of times
we get caught
people.
Up in ego.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, certainly.
I think we get caught up, and then we make bad decisions, or we just don't make that decision at all. Either stops us or we end up making the worst decision possible.
Right.
And there are so many great people that we worked with to kind of make sure that we made really great financial and legal decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And it just took us being able to say, we don't know what we're doing. Like, can you help us out?
Yeah.
And I think I think a lot of times we get caught in having to be the know-it-all, and it's okay to say, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Tell me more about that.
That's great. There's a, there's a blog piece that I've been meaning to write, titled, I'm not ready. That's why I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not ready to start a business. That's why I'm starting a business.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to get into fitness. That's why I'm getting into fitness.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that.
It kind of goes along with exactly what you're saying and what you said earlier, along with fear and getting into your discomfort zone.
I think people ask us, there was no real extreme plan to open up this studio the way that it is. It was that slowly but surely pieces fell into place, and needs, that was the big thing, is the needs were there, right? So like He opened up the little studio.
Mm-hmm.
We got all the clients that he could possibly handle. We have another person, got all the clients that person can handle. And then we have to start saying, well, now we need another space. So then it was like, we need another space, but I've always wanted to develop this type of fitness. Well, let's start practicing what this type of fitness would look like. Okay, to execute it, what do we need? And mm-hmm. then going all the way through finding the need, then filling the need. And that goes into we within a year we expanded and doubled our size here at this studio.
That's incredible.
So again, we didn't start too big. We started a very small, you know,
right.
not a ton of space, and mm-hmm. Then we opened up a little bit bigger to have more personal training, to have more space in the room. I think it was very weird for people, but I think this says a lot about the way he makes decisions is. You know, when we expanded, people were like, oh, you'll be able to fit more people. And I was like, no, it's the same number of people. Everybody's just going to have more room. That's the biggest feedback that we got. That. They wanted more space. And we want to keep our customers as happy as possible, because if they're happy, then they're going to work out harder and they're going to meet their goals. And
they're going to tell their friends.
Yeah.
That's even better.
we made that switch and took that space to give them the additional room without adding. It was 18 on this side. We moved over to the opposite side, gained about I don't know.
You're
we gained 7
foot?
Feet almost each direction.
But
it just gave everybody more space and more room and more mm-hmm. freedom to really get the type of workout in that they wanted to that day.
One thing I'm noticing, one pattern I'm noticing is it's not I wouldn't say it's frugality. It's more like risk aversion. Like it goes along to what you're saying with baby steps.
That's what I do a lot.
That's good.
Doing just enough to get your feet wet and then expanding and expanding and expanding.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah,
I
think so.
It's safer to go that route. Because we keep adding on little bits of equipment as the needs arise, you know, within our personal training. I mean, we started off with, you know, some hand-me-down equipment, which is fine. And then, you know, finally getting to a point where we can purchase, you know, newer equipment and stuff that meets the needs of the clients. But, you know, all of that upright would have been a huge expense up front. And then, you know, not knowing in our first, you know, fiscal year what was going to happen. So we, you know, played it safe on some of those. That was really good on our part.
I think it's a great lesson for people to learn, especially somebody mm-hmm. starting something.
Yeah.
You mentioned almost getting into a lease. Were there any other hiccups that along the way that you've experienced?
good reaction. I think of good ones to.
There's
that
like
should
I think there were, you know, one of the ones that I hated. We have benches and mats, and we ordered probably too many benches and like probably like 10 or 15 extra mats, which is not a huge thing, but still we have equipment that we didn't realize that we weren't going to need, and buying those type of things. I think. Big hiccups. Oh,
I know. Timelining things better. If I wish I would have done that, like, you know, equipment delivery and, you know, just making sure people are in the right place at the right time when that's coming in.
I think so. I would say that's a big hiccup. We have a landlord. He has staff. We have all these buildings around us. We have deliveries being made. There's all these when you're opening up. There's all these things that you have to
orchestrate everything
orchestrate like, to make work right
with the build out. Like, you know, okay, the mirrored glass has to go in before, or no, sorry, the flooring has to go in before the mirrored glass, and then the mirrored glass has to be in before the treadmills come in. So you just have to have this step by step plan.
But they're all delivered by three separate entities and people and installers and.
And then a lesson for me was these other contractors have a lot of other jobs going on. You're not the only one that they're dealing with. So, you know, stay.
You're like, I'm important.
Like, listen to me. Stay
Do
on,
it on this day.
Stay on top of your contractors for sure. That's a good one.
It doesn't sound like there's been huge, like, giant weights on your shoulder. Like, oh my gosh, why did we do this?
Not yet.
Moments, which is not, awesome. Not which yet. Is good. Fantastic. But it might be related to like your connection and community that you've built up. Like,
yeah, and
are there
any
people that you go to for advice?
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. He talks to Jim Hall a lot.
Yeah, one of my good clients. He's been with me since Thrive that we talked about the other day.
He was a former head of transportation for Clinton. He is like the best wealth of knowledge. Like, he's just real talk too. Just straight up.
That's good.
Talking to the mayor a lot, having a chance to be around somebody mm-hmm. that has not only a successful business, as a law firm that's been around for years and years and years since forever. And then also being a leader that's running, you know, employees around 3,000 people, being able to like get those bits of knowledge and talk to him. And then working for the chief was really great too, because you're talking about another leader that's managing and building culture and developing relationships with 600 some odd employees. So I think we've had access to some really great people.
Yeah, and then I had the wonderful opportunity with Lululemon going to a big summit meeting in Canada, and they were, you know, all kinds of other fitness business owners there, which I got to pick their brain, which this was pre Chattanooga Workspace and getting into that. So that was like, oh my gosh, all this wealth of knowledge. But that's just, you know, whatever field you're in, for the most part, people will be accepting if you want to ask them questions. You know, worst case scenario, they just say, you know, I'm not going to answer that question.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Whatever. Move on.
But same with the asking the mayor for.
We always ask job. Opinions. Yeah.
Or, just, you know, just help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. How about we get into fitness?
Fitness. Stuff?
Yeah.
Fitness.
So maybe let's go through a couple of scenarios.
Sure.
Say somebody knows next to zero things about fitness. Where do they start? Do they start with food? Do they start with exercising? A little bit of both.
Not to overwhelm people too much is the big thing. I always recommend starting off with just a simple consultation, just to talk and, you know, just get to know the person a little bit more, you know, where they're coming from, set up, you know, let them talk about their goals and what they want. Most of the time they're going to be a little bit too dramatic, and you can, you know, in this scenario, coming into a fitness regimen, we, as you know, the professionals have to, you know, set those realistic goals, something that can make them keep going. Once they get to that goal, then they can get to the next one,
right,
rather than get that sense of defeat. But I think just the consultation is very important first.
Why so? Just curious.
Just because it's not so intimidating as jumping right into a group fitness room, or maybe into, let's say if you're going to a YMCA or a big Gold's Gym or something where you have a lot of eyes on you.
Yeah, you also walk in and there's just equipment, and you
get lost.
What is this?
So easy to get lost. I think that's like the, I would say it's like the don't search WebMD if you don't feel good. Like you're gonna be like, you have cancer and you're dying and you actually just have a headache. It's one of those things. Like if you search about fitness, like don't Google it just yet. Just I would say consultations, sitting down with somebody that you trust, or just, you know, go try some stuff. Go to classes.
Okay.
Classes are the best choice, I think. Whether it's like CrossFit classes, or it's classes here at KHF, or doing like a class at a big box gym. What happens is, you know, you're definitely going to have somebody that can lead you through the workout. Don't go it alone. Like there's so many. If you're going to pick an option that there is somebody accompanying you on that journey, right? So they can teach you and show you through. And that's why I think class settings are so important.
Versus just stumbling your way through things.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, injuries can occur.
And we've both been there.
Postural alignments are way off. You think you're doing something right, but it's good to have that outside perspective looking on to a body, just making sure everything's in its right place and you're not going to hurt yourself. Yeah. And can be consistent and continue on your path that you're on.
Mm-hmm. What about somebody who is a little overweight and they want to lose some pounds?
Yeah.
What's their next step? They're unmotivated. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they're not in a good, friendship or a family environment. Like, how do they motivate themselves to get to that point where, okay, I'm going to do this. This is what I'm going to do.
So getting them to that point, like
to lose weight,
to get there.
Yeah.
I think it's about surrounding yourself in a class. I'll go back to the class setting again. Like,
okay.
I mean, when you feel like you are either alone or nobody is going to understand you, when you come to a group setting where it's group fitness, you're actually surrounded by people that either are where you are,
mm-hmm.
started where you are, or are just now being right into their journey right now.
Mm-hmm.
So there's three types of people in there that are, this is day one, they're starting it. They started that, and now they're into something. And then there's people that have progressed and they're like just maintaining. So there's all these people around you that you can just feed off of their energy. You don't even have to talk to them or be part of the conversation. You just have to sit back, listen.
Surrounding yourself with people with the like mindset, I think that's huge. Just making sure, you know, you guys are all on the same page, and that will help encourage somebody to come back. You know, let's say this happens a lot, you know, somebody misses a class, everybody else like, hey, where were you that last time? You know, little accountability from everybody else, that helps out a ton. Totally.
I think what not to do is,
I was
going
to actually ask that. Like,
What not to do is to fall for infomercials, fall for pills, not to find quick fixes, because fitness is just like, and dieting and lifestyle changes, there's no such thing as a quick fix, right? And there are so many things that you're inundated with that sell this idea that this is possible. And a lot of times it's just not possible, right?
You mentioned something earlier about not being sustainable too.
Yeah. So we talk about dieting a lot. We actually were just on Facebook Live and someone was asking us, what do you think about paleo? And we're pretty honest about our thoughts on dieting, right? So paleo, Whole30, Atkins diet, ketogenic diet, whatever it is, whatever you want to label it, they all boil down to one thing. It's a calorie reduction, right? It's a calorie reduction and then limiting your access to something. And so what we try to focus on is macro dieting, which allows you to use up a certain amount of proteins, fats, and carbs. And if you decide to do something that's like Whole30 or that's like Atkins or that's the ketogenic diet, whatever label you want to put on it, a lot of those things just aren't they aren't lifestyle changes that you can maintain. And the problem with them is they don't acclimate well to social experiences.
Yeah.
Right. So all of those diets that I just named, if you're going to a Super Bowl party, if you're going to a Christmas party, if you're going to a holiday party, if you're going to Thanksgiving, they don't give you any flexibility to still work within the diet that you're trying to maintain or the lifestyle you're trying to maintain without just saying, no, I can't be a part of this. And so what happens is we see people who diet, especially in bodybuilding, but even just simple dieting, that they just stop themselves from going out on Friday nights. They stop themselves from hanging out with friends because they're so afraid they're going to make the wrong choice. But when you do flexible dieting, you look at macro dieting, you can make the wrong choice. You just have to add it into how many macros you have left.
Yeah.
The other one's kind of, they're great and they're quick, but you've got to find something that you can actually maintain.
And a big part of what we practice here is the educational side of it too. That's something to offer somebody who's wanting to lose weight as well. It's a ton of knowledge, but just understanding what is a portion size. Like in America, you get your food from, you know, wherever, fast food or any restaurant really. And the portions are, I don't know, is this 6 ounces? Is this 5 ounces? Is this whatever? But that educational side of things is what I want people to go through. Like they understand it. It's a little tedious at first. You know, you have to weigh out your food. This is 3 ounces. This is blank. But then you do it for so long, then you can translate it into when you do go out to eat, like, oh, wow, this is way over my portion size. And then it's having the discipline to, all right, we're going to cut this off, put it to go box, take it home.
Yeah, I think people, it's easy to fall off of that, like measuring things and stuff. But really, it's to get to the point where you can eyeball things.
Yes. Yeah.
It's more of an instinct.
And I think if you look at it, like I was trying to think what I would do if it's, I think sometimes we think about fitness and we don't think about it the way we think about other things, right? My car is broken, so I need to go take it to a auto dealership or a mechanic to fix it, right? And so personal trainers and studios and fitness experts, that's who they are. Like they're the mechanics, they're the people that can give you the advice that you need to put you on the right path. And I think sometimes we put so much pressure on ourselves, either intentionally or unintentionally, to figure out something that we have no idea what we're talking about. It's one of those things, again, I said, be okay to not know. And I think, you know, my mom is a great example. She struggled with trying to figure out what works for her. But the problem is when you're the one making the guesses and you haven't spent time getting X amount of certifications and you haven't inundated yourself in becoming the biggest subject matter expert, you're kind of like, you're shooting yourself in the foot. It'd be like me trying to take my engine out of my car and put it back together. I'm not going to be able to do it.
Right.
But somebody who is trained to do it can, or they can show me how to. So you have to look at studios and instructors and fitness experts like that. Like they are your tool. So if your goal is, I want to lose a little bit of weight, most people are going to go, I don't really know how. Well, just find somebody that can Who help does? You, right? And yeah. it might be mm-hmm. just a conversation and you're done with the conversation. I mean, he has people that come in and just sit down and have a consultation and have a conversation and actually never work out in this right. entire studio.
They're going to remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, remember but it's you know, it's that access to knowledge that mm-hmm. that just find the knowledge point that you need. I mean, anything else that we would do other than fitness, we would seek out someone to show us how to do it or yeah. to help lead us through it.
See, I'm one of those boobs that didn't do that. I was in a pretty stressful job situation and didn't know anything about posture. So, yeah. you know, I was hunched over, mm-hmm. keyboard, that kind of thing. Yeah. And then would proceed after that to go work out on my own mm-hmm. without really knowing what the heck I was doing. And then I injured myself.
Yeah. You
know, injured my neck. And that's not a good place to be in.
Especially if you're in a rhythm and you're setting a goal and you're trying to get into this like regimen and yeah, routine and then boom, an
yeah.
injury.
And yeah, things are working and then things aren't.
Yeah.
That's really tough for a lot of people.
Yeah. Any advice for someone going through an injury? How to...
Now, there's a lot of people, you know, corrective movement specialists that are out there. I had a leg press machine fall on my quad, had a pretty bad injury. But that's what really got me into even deeper into the practice of yoga. But getting with somebody who's, you know, fully certified, knows what they're doing. And the practice of yoga really is about just holding your posture as well as you can in different orientations of gravity. But I would say good advice there. Definitely getting with a physician or doctor first, making sure you're cleared to go into a, you know, personal training or regimen such as this. And then getting with the professionals either in yoga or some Pilates experts have that just the movement therapy that might be needed for you.
Yeah, I think it's a stair step process. Like
again, we're saying, like the
rehab
business.
You do the rehab portion that your doctor supplies to you, then mm-hmm. your rehab expert is going to tell you what you can do next. So they may say, just do yoga, or they might say you're free, like go do weight training and take it slow. We have people that he's working with, Laurie. Do you want to tell him about Laurie a little bit?
Sure. Yeah. She's going through right now. She was at super high risk for breast cancer and then recently just had a double mastectomy. And now she was in a super great rhythm, you know, coming to work out at least 4 to 5 times a week. And then having to go through the recovery process is huge. You know, you take that fitness away, which, you know, for most people, it's a good release of anxiety and stress. And then, you know, if that's taken away from you, you really have to go into a good, you know, mindset to be able to, you know, get back to that next step. And then we're helping her out. I'm working with her once a week, one-on-one, private training. And then she's also, you know, slowly getting back into classes now. But it's
and he great. Had a hernia it's, last yeah. year. That actually, it's like the year anniversary coming up
this month. Yeah.
So he couldn't work out for he couldn't work out for like it was an old injury. It was like a 10-year-old injury. It was like not painful, but it could have gotten worse and worse. So we hadn't had it take care of, but that means he had surgery, and then he had to kind of find his road to progress mm-hmm. as well.
So he wasn't able to
take classes, and
not even able to get out of bed at one point too. That was really tough.
I had to watch him. They were like, "You can't lift over 5 pounds," and I was watching him, and he would be like, "I'm just gonna pick these 20s up and do some curls." I'm like, "Put it down."
It's more of a mental battle than anything.
Yes. Yeah.
Certainly.
You feel waterlogged and fluffy, and you're like. You touch a weight and you feel great about yourself again.
I'd like to get into maybe some specifics. That's hard to say. Specifics. So what exactly does your typical like food week look like?
Ooh,
food week. So we
a week of food. I'm not Shark Week or you know.
Food week. We're big advocates on batch cooking or meal prepping, and that helps out a ton. Just takes a lot of the guesswork out of what you're going to consume for the day. If I say it that way, that's sort of weird, but treating food as fuel.
And then 6 days a week.
And then
seventh day.
That is
whatever you want.
Yeah, whatever you want. Yeah. And, you know, it depends on your goals, too. Like, if you are trying to lose weight, you are going to have the discipline to reel it in and make sure you're taking the right amount of calories. But then when you get to the point you want to be, then you can fluctuate and be a little bit more flexible, for sure. But we're big on batch cooking, meal prepping, and then we have a great service here in Chattanooga, Vibrant Meals, that we use them every single week.
And I think that's a good one. It's you know, you have to look at your meal planning and mm-hmm. and again, don't set yourself up for failure. Like if you're like, I'm going to do all my meal prep, and you could spend another dollar or two and just have someone do it for you. have someone do it for you, especially if you're like busy like we are. Like we, you know, at work, I just have them in the fridge and I have my lunch done.
I have
done
some clients, you know, they're toting their kids everywhere, volleyball practice, whatever it is. And the only options that they used to have were, okay, we're going to go through McDonald's or whatever on the way home. But then, you know, having, if you do meal prep or you go through meal prep services such as Vibrant Meals, you already know it's going to be there at home waiting on you, and you don't have to make the mindless decision of I'm starving, I'm just going to go for the first thing that's right in front of my face.
Yep.
What do you batch?
That's a good one.
I'm more creative.
I'm pretty boring.
He's really boring. He's like, all right, I bowled up some chicken and here's some broccoli. Enjoy. Fuel.
Have fun.
So I try to go in and add some seasoning. I think so. We batch cook chili a lot.
Especially during the winter.
Black beans, and then just traditional chili spices, and then some bone broth. And that's great because, one, it's cheap.
That's
super cheap.
That's a good point.
It's super healthy because, I mean, it's 99% fat free turkey. It's black beans and some broth. And we're, you know, if it's that people say, oh, it's too expensive to eat healthy. I mean, that right there, I can make an entire pot of chili for like $10 and it makes like 6 or 7 meals. So that's easy fix number one. The other thing is crock pot chicken. We'll take like salsa, put chicken in there and let that cook for like 8 hours, then throw brown rice in it and it's done. You got chicken and rice. Super cheap too. You buy frozen chicken. I think the cool thing being college students and not having like steady income or a lot of money, we found really unique ways to eat healthy, fit our macros, and like do it on a budget. It's doable. Unless you're buying 30 avocados, it's doable.
Yeah, that's very true. I've fallen out of it recently. I need to get back into it. I find myself going to Whole Foods way too much.
We do too. It's horrible.
You know? Yeah, and then those lunches here and there.
It's the worst. So you go to Whole Foods, and then you think you're eating healthy, and you make this bucket of food, and then you get up there, it's $32. And some reason you've got macaroni and cheese and, like, Asian slaw and, like, a chicken wing and 3 pieces of brisket. And you're
$30.
Like, you wonder what you've done with your life when you could have just taken that $30 and bought the groceries and made something that made into 6 meals. So I think that's a good example of sometimes we complain that eating healthy is expensive, but we also go to Whole Foods and, you know,
there's
$8.99 per pound.
Yeah.
Very much so. And turkey meat is average like $4 a pound. So,
four or five.
A whole pound of turkey and you can – you can make 2 or 3 meals out
whole
of that.
Whole pound of turkey.
Whole pound of turkey pound will go a long way.
Tell me about HIIT.
Yeah.
HIIT.
So it is.
I've heard of HIIT.
Yeah. So it is a play off of that.
Okay.
So high intensity interval training would be HIIT. And then ours is high intensity interval programming. So we wanted to have a programmed workout where you could come consistently every day that we offer classes and not overtax the muscles, but you're still getting the high intensity interval cardio work. And then we added in also the mobility and mindfulness of the yoga practice within, and then also the aesthetic weight training mixed in as well.
And then the programming part is that every day is broken down to a muscle group. So it's a full body experience because you're still doing cardio and you're still doing the yoga, but the weightlifting portion is either upper body, lower body, arms and shoulders. And then we have 2 full body days. But you're usually getting a full body workout because you're doing the full power yoga and the cardio. But we try to do muscle splits the way that a traditional bodybuilding program would look like.
Right.
Yeah, and with the high intensity
and having the
training.
Intention behind the movements too, because sometimes you can go to a fitness facility, you know, piddle around on your phone, you might do a bicep curl or a
worst. I'll scroll on Instagram forever. Like, I'm inspired by that photo.
But knowing what you're getting into when you go to the class is huge, I think. Just you know what muscles you're working, you can get the mind to muscle connection, and you can perhaps get a little bit deeper into the training effect that you're gonna get versus having like I guess I'm going to try this today. I think it's a big difference.
Yeah. I've tried it. I mentioned before we started that it feels like almost you have your own little personal trainer. I know it's a group setting, but it feels personal, more personal than
I'm glad you said that.
Experience.
Yeah. That's what we really strive for. I think that there's it's hard to do in the fitness industry. I think that sometimes people are pushed in and out as quickly as they can in the class, and we try to find that fine balance in getting people in and getting them working out and also giving them the kind of nurturing that they need to be their best. That includes in and outside of the classroom, right? So people right. go in, but they come out, and we do tons of different meal planning, and we do body compositions, and help people track their progress in a very reasonable way that helps them kind of manage their goals themselves. So more than just showing up to a class, it kind of gives them an opportunity in and out to feel supported through that process. Because I think sometimes we forget that we always tell all of our team is that people are looking for help. That's mm-hmm. the only reason they came in the door.
Yeah.
They didn't come in the door because they want to be like you get like 1% where somebody's like, I'm coming in and I want to get the craziest workout. 90% of people are coming in because they just want help. They want help and they want support and they want yeah. somebody to guide them through this kind of like gray water, muddy water kind of
fitness
world.
You've also built a like really strong community, I would notice. What makes a great community? Did you know that you were going to be doing this?
I think it was accident. Yeah. We accidentally did it.
It's like, oh man. And it's really cool, like the just adding in a simple seating area. So it's really cool to watch, you know, after class people congregating, hanging out. Some people that don't even know one another, but you know, they just suffered through, you know, it could have been a pretty intense class, let's say one day, but they all made it through, and then they get to, you know, high five one another outside and actually have a real conversation with another human being and not just, you know, right back into their
I think
screen.
Another thing that's been really helpful for us, we've been really open about our journey. I think a lot of people don't talk about, like, you know, how they started their business or what they're doing, or, you know, some people get afraid, like, these are my trade secrets, like, I earned this. It's like, no, you didn't think of it. Like there's no new ideas, you know, people yeah. always say that, like, yeah. and we truly believe that, like, no one, you know, someone's thought of this, and there's nothing that's like, we're not doing anything monumental here. And we try to be as open, and that's with other gyms. People who own gyms come to us and talk to us about, you know, what we did here, and we're always open as much as possible, because again, like, I don't care what gym it is. I don't care what fitness program it is. If your goal is to get people in a room and get them moving and get them bettering their lives, then more power to you. And,
yeah,
and if I learn something along the way, then we'll totally give you that type of support, because we wanted that support. We may not have had it as much as we wanted to, but like, we wanted that support when we were growing, and
yeah.
we still do want that support. And I think that's been kind of a really great thing for us, is people come in and we're really open on what our goals are. And our goal, you know, I think to our detriment, sometimes we forget that we're running a business, and we're like, oh crap, we have money, and we have to there are expenses and things like that, where we're just like, how many people came in today and how many people worked out? And we don't really like start thinking about dollar signs till like the end of the month. We're like, you know, I think
that is important, the analytics yeah. and everything. But I mean, a lot of it just came along with it, you know, just having the strong community and just providing that experience and knowing that it's a good experience. It just made itself work. And not to dig, I know you like to dig into the numbers a lot.
But like, and then people come in and they realize that there are a bunch of different age ranges here. There's a
yeah.
bunch of different types of people here. There's people that are completely covered in tattoos, and there's like, you know, somebody who's 60 plus and just wanting to get power walk in and lift weights in class too.
Wants to be able to
but
lift
their like,
kids. Yeah.
But they're still both high-fiving each other when they're coming
yeah.
out of the room, and that's the type of bond that we want
to
see
that's
people
incredible
experiencing.
To see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The dynamic of everything's really cool.
One big thing I've noticed is music.
How
yeah. has music influenced
yes.
your schedules
yeah.
and your hip fitness?
So that's been one of my biggest things from back, you know, we talked about some of the choreographed classes where, you know, the music, you have an exercise you do on the beat of every music and some of those. And I liked some of that aspect. But then also wanted to have a little bit of a free form style for, you know, each instructor has their own little personality they can add to the mix. So I think it's important to have, you know, upbeat music, upbeat tempos, and that I know we're going to talk about this. I'm sure like Kyle has a really good phrase. You want to let him know?
Oh, move. Let the feet match the beat. Let the beat
yes.
drive the
yeah.
feet, anything like that. I think one of the things that is important with our music background is, like, you know, metronomes are very important to keeping a rhythm, right? So like, if you just go to the simplistic version of music and you start that rhythm, then that's how you play off of, you know, every instrument follows that one rhythm. And it's the same thing for the body. So if you can, all of our music is 130, 140, or 150 beats per minute, right? So nothing goes below 130. It's 130 and up.
And it's also important that it's a continuous mix of music. So I was a DJ in a past life. but that was one of my big deals is, you know, making sure the transition between the songs were seamless, where you could continue that energy because, you know, if something fades out, it's like,
yeah, and the beat.
all right, here we go.
It's back on. But it's so interesting. Yes, so when you get the beats of the music right, you'd be so surprised even yourself working out. Like when you try to work out without it, it's just impossible because it's what is actually driving your feet. It's actually what's making you go a little bit faster. You know, there's and we tested this a lot because I run to music a lot, and you know, if you want to keep a slow, steady space, you're gonna listen to something like R&B. You know, something with like got a nice groove to it. And then either it's heavy metal or like really hardcore drum and bass or EDM. If you want to just like pound the pavement and like go nonstop, and all you have to do is match your feet to the actual beat that's happening, and you will actually, you'll pace yourself perfectly.
Yeah, and I think it has a lot to do with, you know, some people might not even notice it, but their breath work starts to sync up, I think, to the beat of the music, and
that
can help.
I didn't think about that. Yeah,
I know. I try to cue that a lot in classes, but it could be just subconscious. But if you do mindfully go with some of the beats of music, you know, how long are your inhales? How long are your exhales? It can help you.
You find yourself zoning out too.
Get your mind away from. Yeah. This is intense. This is hard. But okay, all right. I can just focus on my breath for a little bit and make it through.
Because we do a lot of like meditation with like singing bowls and things like that, and that once if you can get in that steady rhythm that never changes. The mind kind of like goes on autopilot, and then
it's
everything
very
starts to
intuitive. Music is very intuitive. It reminds me of I think maybe we're just ingrained in our culture with like time because we're always on the clock, basically. But the same thing with music, you know, on the clock.
Yeah,
keeping with breath, keeping with
And
the
then
intensity of the speed, the tempo.
And if you did break down, you know, popular songs, typical choruses are 30 seconds long. So, you know, hey, you know, we're going to go really hard on this chorus and it's going to be for 30 seconds. And you're going to get a recovery.
Yeah.
So you could, you know, actually break down the different verses, choruses, pre-choruses and create a whole workout out of
that. I used to go run with music in my headphones, and that's how I did my intervals. I would run on the chorus and walk on the verse, run on the chorus, walk on the verse.
That's great.
Yeah, and it's you can follow easy patterns like that to let music kind of dictate what your workout feels like. Do that for 30 minutes. And
different music, different style.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Well, I want to respect you guys' time. I have a couple of like quick...
Quick fire? Are we going quick fires?
Okay.
We're not good at quick fire. We talk a lot.
Maybe not so quick. But, you know,
we'll go quick. Yeah.
Quick as you want them.
Only allowed 10 seconds.
What songs do you sing when you're alone?
Do I sing when I'm alone?
Yeah.
Mm.
In the shower, maybe?
Okay, for me, I'm a big fan of Above and Beyond. It's a trio of DJs from Europe and England. They've got really good vocal tracks. So
I haven't listened to them. I'll have to check them out.
Good stuff. Uplifting.
I sing the song "Here I Am, Rock You Like a Hurricane." I don't even know what that song is. And I listen. I sing a lot of Michael McDonald. I mean, I don't listen to him a lot.
Yeah.
"Taking It to the Streets" is one of my favorite songs. they always pop in my head. And what's that? "Tonight, always got by on my own, and never na 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 na." I don't know. This old Southern rock songs. I think that's a Pat Benatar song, but I'm not sure. And then also, I sing songs that I don't listen. That's not even music I listen to. Wilson Phillips, I sing that sometimes. Mm-hmm. So,
what bands have you been digging lately?
Oh, good question. Let's see. Fitz and the Tantrums is like one of my like favorite. They actually did a Justin Bieber cover recently, and it's pretty epic. It's really good. So if you haven't heard that, take a listen to that.
I haven't. I'll have to.
And then I love a Mr. Fetty Wap.
Fetty Wap.
I listen to him a lot. He laughs because I listen to it all the time.
Easy for karaoke.
I really enjoy his music. and I'm not even a huge rap fan, but I love his music. And then also, who's somebody else I'm listening to right now? I don't know. Who are you listening to right now?
I'm my last name is House, but I do love house music, and I'm getting more and more into deep house music, just very melodic grooves. Helps with my yoga practice, a little bit slower tempo. But there is James Grant, and why can't I think of his name? Just passed me. But they have a record label called Anjuna Deep. So it's all like the deeper mixes of house music, and just totally in love with all of that right now.
Love it. Do you guys like to read?
Yeah. We read a lot of business books like
more for
thought. What do you call them? Like helps you.
Like thought leadership.
Yeah. And then thought leadership. And then also being a better person books.
Yeah,
I don't know what you call
them.
Yeah. Personal development. That was, yeah.
Yeah. Cause it helps us, as instructors, you know, have little quotes and stuff you can offer to your students.
Sure.
This little,
he's reading Tools of Titans right now.
Really like that book.
Yeah, it's very cool.
There's so much stuff.
Oh gosh!
So we're reading the book, but we also
enjoy the quick
reads. It's called Fast Reads, and you download it, and it's an hour version where somebody does a synopsis of every chapter. It's awesome. I didn't think it was going to be that great, but it was really good. We listened to a lot of Tony Robbins, and Tim Ferriss, and then what's the other book? Hard Things. What is that called? What you're reading right now?
I hate it. I don't know the answer.
Doing
the hard things.
Wait, but on our list too, Reid, is the Zappos one.
Or no.
The Hard Thing About Hard Things?
Yes. Yeah, that's it. Yes. Yeah, we're
that's
reading
on my
that right
to-do
now,
list.
Too.
I haven't read that one.
It's a good one.
Any books that have opened your mind, wow, this is going to impact me? It could be business
from
books.
From a building routines for your own personal success, I think Tools of Titans is really cool. I think if you can just take two or three of those things and invest in them and change your life a little bit, you know, waking up and having a morning routine, that's something that all the people in that book talk about, and trying to develop what that looks like for you. We do a lot of saunaing. We love the sauna pods and stuff like that. And finding, I think our new pathway through that book is finding different types of recovery, whether it's mental recovery or physical recovery, that allows you to kind of be great. I think sometimes we forget that the brain is a muscle and it gets overused. And when we get tired, we become really, I have noticed I get really stupid sometimes, but then if I go do these types of relaxation things, they really bring me back to life and help me think a little clearer. I think we both find that a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's something important you've bought in the last 3 months, 2 months, say?
Gloves.
Gloves?
Yeah.
new mattress.
Oh, a new mattress. That's actually a good one. We bought a king size memory foam.
It's
cooling.
I got a
cooling gel.
Did you? I mean, it's I don't remember where we heard this, but it's one third of your life is spent in a bed.
Right.
And so we went and bought really nice sheets, and we bought a really nice bed, and it has made all the difference in the world.
I think some people my back is hurting. Why is my back hurting? Oh, maybe I should
seven-year-old mattress.
Yeah. 7-year-old mattress.
Yeah.
Yes.
But that was probably a really big purchase. And also trying to figure out, we've always skimped on taking care of ourselves before we take care of others. So figuring out ways to kind of pamper ourselves or reward ourselves. Go buy a pair of shoes, or being okay with doing those things. I want a new jacket, and going and getting a new jacket. If
it's the little things, right?
Yeah, and we went to Asheville a couple weekends ago, and that was a lot of fun.
Too, actually, me and Gabrielle.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was really fun.
So to talk about how we never take care of ourselves. We have been together for 14 years, 15 in May, and that was the first time we went on vacation.
Wow.
Just the two of us. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we went on a family vacation before.
And, yeah, so
but those are just two vacations before that in a 14-year period.
That's
so
intense.
Really trying to figure out a really, really steady work-life balance, because I think that's the main goal, is to stay healthy while you make others healthy.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
In one word, how would you describe Kyle Miller? And then we'll do the reverse.
Passionate.
That's what I was going to say about you.
Oh. Yeah, whatever.
Really? That's what I just had in my head. Yeah. I would say kind, probably.
Why passionate? Why kind?
I think it's from his zodiac sign, too. He's a Leo. So it's just he can get behind something, fire people up about it. Sometimes even when I know I'm right in an argument, it turns into
I can win.
Oh, you are right, actually.
And then I say kind. I mean, like I've already talked about.
You did, yeah.
He has a tendency to put everybody else before himself, and he wants to make sure that people are happy and that they're taken care of, and it can be his downfall and his biggest strength of, you know, putting kindness before anything else. You know, he's not the type of person that talks bad about people. He's not the type of person that really talks about people at all. There's not a mean part of him, I don't think. So, and it's hard to find people like that. Like I can be mean or vindictive and have to catch myself and be like, don't be that way. Like for him, like he would have to be the opposite and be like, it's time to get mean. I'm going to get mean. I'm going to be so mean about this. And he's like, let me get the door for you, ma'am. I don't appreciate you, but I'm going to get the door for you.
Oh my gosh.
So
I'm not going to like it.
Yeah. And I'm not going to like it.
I'm not going to like this.
If somebody gave you $10 million, would you still do what you do? Would you change anything?
Let's see.
No obligations to $10 million.
Yeah. So I would definitely continue doing what I'm doing, but then I think that could be a catalyst on getting, you know, that experience out to more people. And then I've always had this idea of wanting to, you know, build up into a point doing different health and fitness and wellness retreats too, that could lend itself get to different places. $10 million would definitely help.
Yeah, I think for both of us, we would look at that money as an opportunity to expand and do more of what it is that we're currently doing.
I mean, I love it so much; it doesn't feel like work some days. You know, there are tough and challenging times, but for the most part, it's just like
that's the best kind of work.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Here's a classic one: if you could have a dinner party with anyone, who would it be?
With anybody. I hope you remember the person that you've said this before.
I have.
He's your like fitness inspiration.
Can they still be alive?
I think he's still alive. Live, dead. He's still alive.
Fictional.
Kyle.
Terrible right now.
I was going to say Jack LaLanne.
I was going to say, yeah, yeah.
I'm pretty sure Jack LaLanne's still alive.
I feel bad about that now. But just somebody as inspirational as he was, you know, and still is, and just be able to pick his brain and understanding like, where he got his ideas, and you know, at a time where none of that knowledge was around pretty much at all, like how did he get it to, you know, the mass of people?
I listened to him on the a while back, like a couple of years ago, and with my dad, is it like a radio or something, and he was talking about organic fruit and vegetables, and he was like, was the dirt organic? Was the air organic? Was the water organic? He's like, then it's not organic. There's no such thing. And so, like, I just love somebody that is that confident in what they're talking about and can, like, just look to poke holes and stuff and be dedicated to really challenging people that are saying this is the healthiest thing, and then challenging them and be like, is it, though? And he did that a lot. So if I could have dinner with somebody, it would probably be Joe Biden.
Ooh. Joe Biden, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why Joe Biden?
I've always just like really liked the way that he, not even just like from politics, like his opinion on things, just the way he approaches politics and life. And I got to meet him when he came down here after the terrorist attack, and he just seemed like a really genuinely nice person. And so I think that it'd be interesting to have a conversation with him. Yeah, that or like some if I could do somebody who's dead, like. Somebody that from my family from like I don't know 90-100 years ago and be like what are you doing, what did you do, how did we get here, that kind of thing. So
that's interesting. I've never heard of that one. That's good.
Yeah.
If you could master any skill instantly, maybe three skills instantly, what would you choose?
I'm getting into, or I was getting into martial arts a little bit as another form of movement. Jiu-jitsu would be one. And then mastering any skill, you said. Doesn't have to be fitness related, right?
No, it can just be anything. Anything.
Like my mom's painting skills, I think that's awesome. To be able to like take something out of your mind and just throw it onto a canvas. That's so painting. Great. That's
so a good one.
Little self-defense, little painting. And then I'm not the greatest cook. So I feel like that would help sell something. So
we
a little bit more
culinary.
Stop boiling
chicken.
I know. Yeah, so gross.
Terrible.
So gross.
Then you'd be a great
just
cook.
Grill it or something.
Just do something good. Different. Yeah.
I've been wanting to try Tai Chi.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I've heard super relaxing, and then just like this nice fluid movement. That's another thing. That's a good one.
Tai Chi. Is it my turn?
Yeah.
Oh, piano is one. I took piano for like 3 years when I was a kid, and I can just play power chords. Like, I would love to be able to. That always amazes me to sit down, see somebody sit down. I mean, guitar is great. I mean, there's six strings, but like when you're talking about this many keys and people being able to like seamlessly do that and being able to do it by ear, that's always impressed me so much. People who can play piano by ear without music. I think like, I don't know if I have three. I know my last one that I want to say for the last one. I think figuring out like how to be mindful, like just being okay and being present moment. I think and worry too much. I think mastering the art of like being in the present moment versus like thinking of the future and navigating crisis and circumstance. I'm really not good at that, and any access to being better, a better practitioner and teacher of that would be, I think, would be very helpful. And then I've always wanted to learn like how to make a surfboard. So somebody asked me like, what is your dream? And I don't want to surf. I have no interest in it. But I like in my head, if somebody was like, what would be a dream world? I'd be like, I don't know. I work at a surf shop at a beach and like don't wear shoes. And I like sand surfboards for a living. And then I go home and like hang out and by the beach and then wake up, have a cup of coffee and go sand. Like it seems like the most unstressful job ever. And like you just get up and you're just sanding away and then you go to bed and then you get up and you're living, of course, by the beach. And so I want to master that skill because I want to be an old dude that like builds surfboard that has never surfed in his life.
I love that. That's great. A few more. What does 2018 look like for you guys?
Yeah. For us personally, probably is like being better at getting ritualistic and like figuring out setting what our pattern of life looks like.
Little small goals, accomplishing those, and then on to the next one.
And then as far as the studio is concerned, I think we're going to open up a second location.
That's
huge.
It's so, in the plans, in the works, but it's just finding, you know, how do you get systems in place to replicate something that, and you want it to have the same consistency, and so you get the same experience. Mm-hmm. So that's where that is 2018.
Figuring out if it's possible to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And if it is, how quickly we can do it and how we can financially do it and then make it happen and where it would happen. So.
And then where, that's a big one.
Yeah.
I've talked a little bit about that. How she did it, Kelsey from Southern
Squeeze. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So me and her are best friends. My mom and her mom are best friends. My dad and her dad are best friends. And me and her grew up together since she was born. So she's a huge inspiration of mine and is doing amazing things. And I think at one time she came to me for advice and now I go to her for advice. Uh-huh. So the tables turn.
She's killing it.
I love it.
Yeah, she's doing so good. And me and Jody are a lot alike and her and Kyle are a lot alike and they just care to get people access to the things that they think make people's lives better. And then you, of course, have to financially be able to make that sustainable.
Right.
And then that's where
an important part.
Person like me and Jody jump in. And so I think that, like, if I could give somebody advice in a business is to find, don't try to be both those things. You're either one or the other. You can't be both. One person needs to be making decisions that is best for the customer, and then one person needs to make decisions that are best for the business, and then you come together to see how those are going to mix and how to make them work accordingly.
Love it.
Yeah.
And related to helping people, the last two questions are specifically to helping people. The first one, give my audience or me or whoever listening a challenge, something that they have to do after listening to this. It could be anything, could be related to fitness, could be whatever you want.
I always love just to start with, you know, every morning before you take on anything else, I'm just going to drink like a nice cold glass of water.
That's the one I would go to too.
That's and a good one.
It's one that we always try to teach. If you can do that right.
But then on another end, I know there was just a simple act of making your bed in the morning, just getting those little rituals in place where you succeeded at something, already feeling good about your day, so that's going to just catalyst you into
a good
positive mindset. Yeah.
It does.
It totally does.
I think, and I would totally agree. It's something like that. Someone asked me one day, they were like, you know, you're, how can I manage my time better? Like, you have so much going on. How do you manage it? And I was like, you just have to make the decision to do the things that you need to do. And he was like, what do you mean? I was like, when you wake up, like, drink that glass of water, brush your teeth. Like, those are all accomplishments of the day. And I think sometimes we take for granted the things that we get done, that we just flow through life. It's a big thing for me to wake up and actually drink that cup of water. It's really hard. Like, to make yourself do it every day, and then to feel bad about not doing it. And when you can do that, then if you can do all these things right in the morning, then the rest of your day becomes so much more successful.
I've, along with that, noticing how important streaks are, like, to keep your motivation going to continue to do things, especially on a daily basis, like meditating every day, looking at that 800, 900 days worth of meditating a row number, it's like, I do not want to break that.
You know? I know.
Yeah. I agree. Like, that's, I put a cup out, and it's, that was actually my New Year's resolution, was to drink that glass of cold water right when I wake up every morning. And now I've gotten to the point where if I don't, like, if I missed it, like, my whole day is just like,
weird,
it's just weird and off. Because I missed it like a Tuesday, and I went into meetings. People were like, are you okay? Are you sick? And I was like, no, I'm fine. And then, like, when I got home, I was like, I didn't drink that glass of water. Ugh.
And then the last one, any takeaway questions you want people to ask themselves? So we had a challenge, but now a question.
Yeah, why are you doing what you do?
Yeah.
That's
what,
good.
What exactly do you want out of what you're doing? And then that's a good thing to ask yourself.
And I'll add on to that. So that we'll say that's his. And then I'm going to say why. I ask myself that a lot, this a lot, because I think we find ourselves getting upset about things that really don't matter. Why is this upsetting me? Right. So that's like somebody that like cuts me off, or somebody that didn't hold the door for me, or somebody that didn't do this thing. Like, I think if you try to start taking stock in those things, and asking yourself, like, why did this upset me? Why is this stressing me out? You start to realize it's not that big of a deal, and you're wasting a lot of your time. Worrying, being angry, or being upset about things that are completely outside of your control. And if you can let go of those things, then you can actually focus on the things that are most important, like getting that cup of water in the morning.
Yes.
Love it. Well, guys, Kyle House, Kyle Miller, thank you so much for being on here.
I appreciate you
giving me your time. Any final closing thoughts you want to plug? The Kyle House Let's Fitness? See.
No, I mean, if you have questions about fitness, if you are wanting to try out classes, if you're just interested in learning more, visit our website or go.
We have a blog too.
We have a blog, kylehousefitness.com. We'll take you to all of that. We do live videos on Facebook, Instagram.
Yeah. Starting to get into more recovery videos and stuff.
So too, even if you're like just toying around with the idea, we show exercises you can do at home. We show exercises that we can do in class, and really start to research. So spend your time researching and check us out. And if there are questions, don't even feel obligated. I think that's the best thing to say, is like, just because you ask a question or you email us or you do something, there's no obligation to like become part of a gym or to take it any further than getting a question answered.
Yeah,
it just starts with asking questions.
Love it.
Yep.
Love it. Yeah, this is good.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hey, one quick final note. If you're interested in what I've been doing with this podcast, with the blog, the daily writing challenge on Renaissance Life, go to renaissancelife.com/join and join the community of my email list. It's a weekly email that I send out with recommends and things I've been thinking about, and of course, staying up to date with the blog, my favorite blog posts and podcasts, and all the happenings and doodads and such. So if you're interested, go to renaissancelife.com/join. If you're not interested, hit me up. I'd love to know why and how I can improve. You ready?
Sure.
Secret table beat of the week. Okay.
Oh, I like the squeak in there. That was good. Oh, table beats.
Perfect. Okay.
Stool beats.